You're listening to The Naked Scientist with Sarah Castor-Perry and me, Helen Scales. And over the past year, we've met up with lots of marine experts to talk about their work. And to delve a little deeper into their devotion to the oceans, we asked them to tell us, if they were a marine critter, which one they'd be and why. We had some really great answers, and here are some of the highlights.
I'm Greg Rouse. I'm a professor here at Scripps Institution of Oceanography.
I'm Carl Safina. I'm an author and president of Blue Ocean Institute at Stony Brook University.
My name is Mark Baumgartner. I work at the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution.
Hello, my name is Nancy Knowlton, and I'm a marine biologist at the Smithsonian's National Museum of Natural History.
My name is John Bruno. I'm a marine ecologist at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.
My name is Boris Worm. I'm a marine biologist working out of Dalhousie University in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada.
And if I had to be a critter, I would choose Ozodax, which are bone-eating worms.
If I were a marine species, I would be a sea urchin.
I would be a brown pelican.
I would be a deep sea animal for sure.
I'd be a Caribbean boulder star coral.
And the species that I would like to be is a bluefin tuna.
I would be a North Atlantic right whale.
What's amazing about them is that the ones that initially settle are all females. So it's females who dissolve and eat the bone. Any new babies coming in are taken by the females and made into little dwarf males.
They don't live that long, I don't think.
They're also, in a way, the stars of the reef, because although they grow very slowly and reproduce just once a year in about a half-hour time period, they're very strong, so that when a big hurricane comes, all the more fragile corals are broken to pieces, but the star corals survive.
They eat a lot. They eat often.
Unlike most other fish, it's warm-blooded, so it's really kind of the king of the fish.
So far, we've found 17 species of these amazing animals, and they were only discovered in 2002, and we think there are probably many more species of these all over the oceans of the world.
They are very beautiful animals. You know, they have these transparent bodies and these giant wings. They look a lot like angels.
It even changes its shape. Its eyes get bigger and its color gets different, so it can be disguised as it goes on perhaps a 4,000-mile migration to the Sargasso Sea.
They've been around for probably more than 400 million years. That's more than twice as long as dinosaurs on average.
And their shells are really very beautiful, very intricate designs. They can be pillbox shapes and needles or even stars.
And I've always thought it was thrilling to watch them ripping through the surface and exploding as they chase their prey. And it looked very powerful, but also like a lot of fun.
Well, there are loads of great creatures in there, but if I had to pick one from all of the people we spoke to, I think this one would be my favourite.
I'm Tim Shank. I'm a biologist at the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution. And if I had to be a critter in our ocean, I would be a deep sea animal for sure. And I would be one that lived at hydrothermal vents. And I think I would be a shrimp, actually. They don't live that long, I don't think. But the reality is these guys can move, and they can move throughout the vent system. And what's so cool about them is that they actually farm their own bacteria in their gills. They hover around the vent water, and these microbes love their gills, and the microbes grow. And so the animals just sit there, and they farm off. They pick off the bacteria, and they have this really cool adaptation. They don't have eyes like normal shrimp, okay? They've lost their eyes. They lost their eye stalks. Instead, they have this plate that sits on the front of them where their eyes would normally be, and their eye has migrated back to on their backs. We believe that they can see with this little organ on their back that allows them to see black body radiation, the heat coming from the vents. We think they can image that and see it. So how cool would that be to fly around the deep sea looking for hot spots like that, looking for a dim glow of light that's a hydrothermal vent? You roll up to the vent and you have a nice cool bath of water, a nice warm bath of water, and you can farm microbes right there. I think that would be so cool to be one of those.
That was Tim Shank from the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution in the US introducing the vent shrimp that feed on bacteria living in their gills, and they see not with visible light but heat coming out of hydrothermal vents in the darkness of the deep sea. So, Sarah, which one was your favourite critter?
It was actually a really hard decision to choose my favourite, but I actually have stuck with a similar deep sea theme, and I've had to go for this just because it's so weird.
My name is Matt Gollick. I am the assistant manager of the International Marine and Freshwater Conservation Programme at the Zoological Society of London. And the chimeras are probably what I would describe as the forgotten cousin of the shark and ray. We know very, very little about chimeras in comparison to both the sharks and rays. Chimeras are very odd-looking creatures. And chimera in Greek mythology actually means a creature that's created from other bits of animals, which when you look at a chimera, you can actually sort of believe that. And while chimera is a sort of a group term for these fish, within that there's individual species that are known as rabbit fish, rat fish, elephant fish. So there's a range of different names for different chimera species. The thing we can sort of generally say about chimeras is that they mainly live at depth, so anything down to about 2,500 meters. As I mentioned, they're related to the sharks and rays, and all three of these different groups of animals, the sharks, rays, and the chimeras, have skeletons that are made of cartilage rather than bone. And if I was sort of to describe an average chimera, I'd probably first say there's no such thing as an average chimera. But when you get to the head end, that's kind of where it gets really interesting, because they often, sharks, rays, and chimeras all use electrosense to detect their prey. And the chimeras have some very unusual modifications of their snout to aid this. Some of them have very, very long paddle-shaped ones. This fact, I still sort of have trouble sort of imagining the mechanics of this, but the males actually have a retractable sex organ on their head. They have traditional sex organs as well, but they seem to have this other one as well. And I, to my knowledge, I don't know if anyone's actually seen it in use, but it is something that sort of slightly boggles my mind.
The mysteries of sex organs on the head. Amazing that the oceans are such a bizarre and wonderful place. That was Matt Golick from the Zoological Society of London introducing the deep sea chimeras, those weird cousins of sharks. And if you'd like to hear more oceans experts choosing which marine critter they'd like to be, check out thenakedscientist.com/oceans.
Well, sadly, that's all we've got time for this week. A huge thank you to Jesse Ossabell, Sylvia Earle, Douglas Bartlett, Kevin Hardy, Sean Garner, James Guest, Tim Shank and Matt Golick. Tune in next week when we'll be answering your burning science questions. Get them into us on Twitter at Naked Scientists or by email to chris@thenakedscientist.com. Thanks for listening. Catch you next time.
The Naked Scientists comes to you from Cambridge University and is supported by the Wellcome Trust, the EPSRC, the Natural Environment Research Council, and UK FAST. For more information, look us up online at thenakedscientists.com.